That text that Jake read for us is one I have thought long and hard about, and probably after this lesson somebody will come up and say, "Oh, Marty, it's this. It's here's the answer to your question." I hope so, because I'm still wondering about something. And here's that text. John chapter 1, verse 14. The word became flesh, dwelt among us. We saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, first of all, who are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus Christ. He was the one, the Word of God, made flesh. He was the one who lived among the people in John's day. And that's why John could write that. That Jesus had lived among them. And they beheld his glory, full of grace and full of truth. Now, my wondering is, my question is, why did the Holy Spirit inspire John to write those two things? Because if you think about it, what other wonderful things was Jesus full of? He was full of hope, full of glory. But the Spirit didn't inspire John to write hope and or glory. He was full of salvation. He was full of love, full of compassion, full of mercy. But he didn't write any of those things. He wrote that Jesus came full of grace and full of truth. John testified him, it says, testified about him, John the Baptist. This is John the Apostle writing about John the Baptist. It says, John the Baptist testified about him, and he cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." There it is again. Grace and truth were realized. What's it mean when you realize something? You're made aware of it, but the idea is that before you were made aware of it, for you, it wasn't real. Now it's real. Grace is real. Truth is real. There is something to them that transcends everything else in the universe and beyond. That's not a reference to Buzz Lightyear. It's just that I want you to be aware that this universe is something God spoke into existence, and he exists outside our universe. And so there are things way beyond this universe. As a matter of fact, you know what will happen to this universe according to the scriptures. This universe will burn up in the end. And only those spiritual things that God has destined for eternity will last. You and I will last. I remember years ago, somebody talked about the stars, looking up into the stars. And which one of us have never looked up at the stars at night and wondered about the greatness and the heavens that are there every night? And they pointed out to me, those will all go away, but I will last. Because you look into the heavens and you think you're small when you see all that greatness and all that glory, but all that's going away, but not me, not you. You have an eternal spirit. God is bringing that spirit unto himself through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth are realized through Jesus. What is grace? Grace is a gift that you can't earn. Grace is a gift that comes from God. Grace is a gift that you and I are desperately in need of, and we cannot provide it for ourselves. Grace is a gift, however, that only comes through one thing, and that one thing is the truth. Are you aware that in our world, people tell lies? Crazy thing this week. And I don't worry, I'm not getting political. Just to make an observation, our president wanted to make a speech to the nation about the legitimacy of our elections and how some things have been called into question. And some of the major networks did not want to air that speech. I wonder why they would not want to air that speech. Have you ever tried to get to the bottom of something and you just can't get to the bottom of it? It's like there's not enough information. And by the way, how do you get your information? You got to go to somebody else to get your information. Well, who are you going to get your information about what happened this week about that speech? Where did Mr. Trump get his information? I call him Mr. Trump because he's been Mr. Trump for decades and decades. Well, now he's President Trump, and he's got the means to get to the bottom of things. Can I trust him? Well, all these networks have the means to get to the bottom of things. Can I trust them? The thing to do is get on Facebook. How did you know I was making a joke? You get on Facebook and all you have to say is the sky is blue and somebody's going to argue with you about that. That's all you have to do. And they're going to be quoting some scientist or some philosopher or somebody. But there is one real source of truth in the universe and beyond. And that source of truth is Jesus Christ. And I'm so very thankful for that singularity because I don't want to have to go all over the place looking for truth. I love my work. One of the great things about my work is what I work with never changes. I would so hate to be an automobile mechanic today. A new model comes out every year and new technologies come out every year. And they're making cars in different places in all kinds of different ways. And you can't just be a mechanic anymore. You got to be a mechanic, an electrician, and a specialist in all kinds of things. You got to know all kinds of electronic gadgets. Old guys can't be mechanics anymore. I used to have a 1950 GMC pickup. 6-cylinder motor, you pop the hood, everything was right there. There was so much room in there, you could crawl down in the engine compartment with that motor, and you could, oh, there's the carburetor. There's the alternator. It was weird. It was a 6-volt system, positive ground. But it was there. You could see it. You could figure it out. I wanted to put a stereo in it. I did. First, I had to get a box that would change all that electricity to something else. But you could do it because there was room to do it and it was understandable. It's crazy today, the things you have to learn. But this book, ever since the first inspired writer put the words down, it's not changed. It's not changed. Except for the intended change. And that's what John points out. Who gave us the law? Now, we know it was God. Everybody knows it was God who reads the book. God gave the law, but he gave it to Moses. And Moses gave us the law. But then Jesus says, the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Well, wait a minute. Was there not any grace? Was there not any truth in the law? Well, what was the law? Paul would write to the churches of Galatia, the law was our schoolmaster to do what? To bring us to Christ. Who's Christ? He's the one who has brought us grace and truth. I need grace to get to heaven because somebody's got to do something for me that I can't do for myself and I can't earn it. There's no way I can do enough to earn it. And you can't do enough to earn it. It's got to be given to me. It has to be a gift. And God says, it is a gift, Marty. I'm giving it to you. Who's going to pay for it? That story that Mike told this morning was a beautiful story. It did illustrate what God has done. He has taken the punishment of my sin on himself. That's grace. That's grace. And it's a true story, so that makes that truth. But how do I get to where that grace is? I need to hear truth about that. Have you noticed that in the realm of what we would call Christianity, there's all kinds of ways to get to that truth? You can do this or you can do that. You can talk to this special person or that special person. But where are you going to go to find the truth that is Jesus? Let's go a little farther in our text. John chapter 14. So many times and places, Jesus is trying to convince his apostles that everything's going to be all right. They're eventually going to Jerusalem where he's going to be arrested and crucified, but he's trying to get them to believe all the way to Jerusalem that everything is going to be okay. And so he says this, chapter 14 of John, verse 1, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." Why? Because I'm the truth. Believe in the Father that sent me and believe in me. I'm telling you the truth. "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." What's that? Well, that's grace. They don't deserve that place. I don't deserve that place. But Jesus says, "I've prepared it for you. It's waiting. I can't wait to bring you there." That's grace. That's the mercy of God. That's the compassion of God. It's all wrapped up in his grace towards us and towards the world. "For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son." That's the message of the gospel. He goes on. "If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, as I think I would have said, "Wait a minute. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Because I'm sure Thomas was thinking what I would have been thinking. How do you get to Tulsa from here? I'm asking because I know, because we went there yesterday. Now, there's a couple different ways you could go. What I like to do is go east until you get to the new turnpike. That's a nice road, isn't it? That new turnpike. And then you go north on the turnpike until you get to 44 going on up to Tulsa. And you just keep on going until you get to Tulsa. That's how you get. I know how to do that. But Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." And they don't know where that place is. And so Thomas says, we don't know the way. And what does Jesus tell Thomas? What does Jesus tell the other apostles? What does Jesus tell you and me when he has John write it down? Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What are some of the lies that you hear these days? How many genders are there? Where do you go to find the answer to that question? I'm old enough that I have a hard time believing this is what we've gotten to in American culture. We're asking, how many genders are there? And people are arguing over that and fighting over that and being hateful and ugly and mean over that. Those who cry out for tolerance are the least tolerant if you have an idea different from what they say. Where do you learn the truth about how many genders there are? Genesis chapter 1, the first chapter of the Bible. God made them in his image. He made them male and female in his image. If you're a woman, you're created in the image of God. If you're a man, you're created in the image of God. If you're anything else, it's not from God. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm not trying to be hateful. This is the truth that God has given us. Can you be a furry? I hear the giggling. Why do we giggle? Do we giggle because we're mean? Or do we giggle because we know, what a ridiculous idea? And I don't say ridiculous to hurt anybody's feelings. But this is what we've come to in our culture. When people can claim to be furries, and all of a sudden we've got to have laws that give them rights to be furries, and teachers have to have litter boxes in classrooms. Are you kidding me? No. By the way, I know I'm the only one talking. Marty, you're not kidding yourself. This is where we stand today. Couple gets married, conceive a child. By the way, that's the way you're supposed to do it according to the scriptures. How do I know that's the truth? Because you just read that in the Bible. Where do you read that in the Bible? Genesis chapter 2. You can get it out of chapter 1, but chapter 2 is where it really gets put in print. By the way, and I'm not trying to be mean, but if you're having sex outside of marriage, that is a lie. That is not right. And you probably know that, because that's a truth we learn very early on. And so many in our culture, so many in our world are abandoning these truths today. But when that married couple conceives a child, is it a child? Or is it a clump or a lump of cells? That's another lie. And if you disagree with that, you'll be castigated. You'll be hated. You'll be maligned. We don't use that word much anymore, but it's a good word. But it doesn't mean something good. It means people are going to say things about you because you're ugly and you're hateful. All these lies that we hear in our culture today, if you stand up for the truth, you're going to sound mean. You're going to sound ugly. You're going to sound hateful. Why do you think Jesus was crucified? He came as the embodiment of truth, and he did nothing but tell the truth, and the truth that he told is exactly the reason he was crucified. And if you stand up and tell the truth that Jesus told, you'll be crucified in this world as well. You'll be hated and maligned. You'll be looked down upon. You'll be ridiculed and you'll be mocked. And if you stand up and tell people that Jesus came to establish the church and he just built one church, do you believe that's the truth? You better not say it out in culture, out in society. You'll be called a bigot. You'll be called a legalist. You'll be called every name in the book that could possibly be leveled at you simply because you stand up for the simple principle that Jesus came to build one church. Now, who's welcomed into that church? By Jesus Christ himself. Everybody. Everybody. That's the truth. But he welcomes me into his church, into his family, into his kingdom, so that he can transform me by the renewing of my mind. How does that happen? Truth. Truth. I'm desperately in need of grace, and the only way I can get to grace is hearing truth that I can obey. And that's what Jesus said. You look at John chapter 8, back up a few chapters from chapter 14 where Jesus says he's the way and the truth and the life. Go back to chapter 8 where he says this. Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed on him, there were a lot of Jews that did in fact believe on Jesus. Do you remember what happened when he came into Jerusalem? He went to Jerusalem to die, but as he was coming into Jerusalem, what were people doing? They were taking their clothes off and laying in the road so the donkey that Jesus was riding on wouldn't have to tread on the dirt. They were showing honor and respect to Jesus. They were taking palm fronds, cutting palm fronds down, laying them in the road for the same reason. They were crying out. What was the word they were saying? You know. Save us, they were crying out to Jesus. They were honoring him as the Lord. But within the week, other voices were crying out to crucify him, and that's exactly what happened. He was put to death. But here, Jesus is saying to those Jews who did believe, John chapter 8, verse 31, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. Now, why does he say, do you ever wonder why he says, then you're truly disciples of mine? Why would he say truly? Is it possible that there are some who claim to be disciples but aren't really disciples? My dad, like a lot of your, well, a lot of you aren't old enough to say this, but my dad, like some of your dads and a lot of your grandfathers, fought the Nazis. Why did I say that? I say that because if my dad were alive today, you know what people in this country would be calling him for the things he believed? They'd call him a Nazi. Bernard Kessler, you're a Nazi. You think there's just two genders. What's wrong with you, Bernard Kessler? And right on down the line with all the lies that we're hearing and being told and are being pushed on us these days, I think about if my dad were alive today, he'd be called a Nazi, and he's one of those guys that fought the Nazis. Who are we going to let define our terms? Jesus is saying, let me define your terms. Let me tell you what to do. If you continue in my word, then if you continue in my word, then you're truly my disciple. And what will happen then? You'll get a phone call. That's what will happen. It's the calling of the Lord. It's true, though. This is the gospel. This is the gospel through which God calls us to himself. Jesus is saying, I'm calling you to myself through my word. You hear my word, and you hold to that word. You'll know the truth, and the truth is going to do what? It's going to make you free. Free from what? Well, it's going to make you free from sin. Yes, we understand that, and he talks about that. If the Son makes you free, then you are free indeed. But he doesn't just make us free from sin. He makes us free from foolishness. He makes us free from error. He makes us free from ignorance. He makes us free from all the things in this world that are eventually going to hurt us. Have you ever done something that you thought was the right thing, but you found out later it was the wrong thing to do? You said, boy, I wish I'd have known better. When do you know better? Well, after you've done it. That's usually when you figure out. Have you ever had something in your mouth? Not food, but words. And you thought, this is what I'm going to say. And then you say it. And how long does it take to figure out that was the wrong thing to say? Doesn't take long. Truth. And then Paul has to mess things up. He comes along and he says, but speaking the truth, how? In love. Yes, we need to speak the truth in love, but any lie is hateful. And that's what we hear so much of today. So I'm encouraging you, I'm challenging you today through what Jesus says in John chapter 8. Commit yourself to truth. Commit yourself to learning his truth. We probably, you know a lot of Bible because you come to worship and you sit in Bible classes and you study on your own. But commit yourself to continuing to study his word, because that's where we will find and know the truth. And not just where we'll find and know it, but it's where we will get that truth ingrained into ourselves. There are things I know that I could let go if I didn't pay attention to those things and come back to them. And I need to be constantly reminded of a lot of truth. How about you? I need to see it over and over and over again to ingrain it in me. Because what's the world doing all the time? We're seeing it over and over and over again. And it's packaged pretty nicely. I don't mean to pick on anybody, but just for one example, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands how many people like the show Friends. Because I got to admit, you watch a few episodes of that, those people are funny. And they're all beautiful. And they're cool and they're hip and happening. But what's happening while you're watching that show? You're seeing a program about six people who are just sleeping with anybody that comes along. That's what that show's all about. Friends. Are they my friends? Well, we're supposed to love those people? Well, of course we're supposed to love them. Does loving people compel me to believe everything they say or listen to every influence they have? I'm not trying to be hateful or ugly or mean, but sometimes You got to be able to see things the way they are. And that's what Jesus showed us. And he showed us that about ourselves. Jesus didn't come down and say, you guys are great. I love you. You're just wonderful. Every single one of you. You're just perfect. Says you're sinners. But I want to help you with that. You continue in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. The truth is something you're going to know. And it'll make you free. If you want to be free today, we're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement and invitation. I know Bobby's got it all picked out. You've got the number. It's going to be on the screen. If you need to respond to the gospel this morning, we want to help you with that. If you've got questions you need answered, talk to somebody this morning before you leave. If you need prayers from this congregation, let us know what you want prayed for. We will pray with you and for you. Whatever your need might be this morning, we're asking you to respond. Let somebody know before you leave today. Let's stand and sing.